Right, I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 3. That's Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You should command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap." So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. Some of the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabath, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground, until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Right. Joshua 3. Now, if you know your story, we know that Joshua had sent out two spies earlier. They'd gone into Jericho on being rumbled, if you will. Rahab had helped them. She struck a deal with them so her and her family could survive. But on returning to the camp, they gave a good report. So the people of Israel were ready to move. So verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and set out from a great acacia grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. When it says Joshua got up early, Joshua was keen to get on with the job. This is what he had waited for since the last time he was in the Promised Land. Remember, he went into the Promised Land. He and Caleb wanted to go in and take the land, but the other 10 were afraid. Joshua and Caleb trusted the Lord, but it took 40 years of wandering in the desert to get back to this position. But this was the start of the big move into the land. It would have taken quite an exercise, if you will, for the people to move to the banks of the Jordan, because it wasn't just the soldiers that were moving. It was everybody. Men, women, children and animals. They also moved forward. But they all moved forward in faith. Because really, at this time, they didn't even know how they were going to get across the Jordan. The river was at its fullest, so not easily crossed. Verse 2. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." When you read commentaries and things like that, people come up with all sorts of theories, don't they, about why they stopped there for 3 days. But really, it was most probably because they were just preparing themselves. They had to sanctify the self. And they were preparing the self for that big move. Of course, the signal to move was the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord being moved by the priests, the Levites. And all through the last 40 years, God had gone before them as a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. That had finished now. God was now going before them in the form of the ark. And remember, only the priests could carry the ark when it was God's command. But the people had to stay 2,000 cubits behind. I believe that's about 1,000 yards. In our money, as we say. But personally, I think I would be happy staying that far away from the ark. Because it was a powerful thing. Touching it would mean instant death. But the reason is not that. It's because they didn't know the land. And God was guiding the ark and where it was to go. It was a simple fact of being practical. The people could see clearly where the priests were going, and also the priests were not being crowded and pushed. Now, I don't normally give a title to my sermons. I don't know why. I just don't, unless asked. But I have given this one a title. Are you a crossover person? And we're about to get to that now. And Joshua said to the people, verse 5, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now the Hebrew word for this, and I'm pretty sure my pronunciation will be wrong, is habar. It means to cross over or to pass over. It is used 21 times in this story of the crossing between 3:1 and 5:1. But this verb emphasizes the decisive nature of this moment in the history of the Hebrew people. It distinguishes it from everything that had gone before. The word was never used to describe the passage through the waters of the Red Sea. Other Hebrew words were used that mean enter or walk. But this word, achbar, connotes something tremendous of epic significance. To put it in the words of E. John Hamlin in his book, Inheriting the Land, the reason for this is that the verb implies crossing over a boundary where physical, like a river valley from Deuteronomy 2, political, like a nation's border, in Deuteronomy 2:18, or moral, as to enter a covenant, in Deuteronomy 29, or transgress a commandment, in Deuteronomy 26. So Joshua, I love it, these things are great until you press the wrong button. Joshua said to the people, prepare yourself before God, for tomorrow you will see him at work on your behalf. This preparation was most probably like ceremonial washing, which was their custom. They were about to see God at work in a mighty way so they could enter the promised land. This is quite a momentous moment they were about to go through. God had taken the people through the river before, but that was to escape Egypt and to give them freedom. But this was different. This time they were entering the promised land, the land of promise, where their future lives would be spent, settled, at peace with their God. I know it didn't just work out that way eventually. The people are being offered an opportunity here. Before them is a better life. Before them is a life lived in God's will. But if you notice, 2.5 tribes settled before they crossed the Jordan. They were not crossover people. They got to the edge of the promised land and then settled for what they had. They missed out on the land of promise. But this says a lot to us about being crossover people. We must not be afraid to move forward or take up what is offered by God. We can stay where we are and miss out on the promises. Being a Christian is about taking the opportunities God lays before us. I'm sure you've all been in this position where moving forward seems hard. But when you do it, God meets you and blesses you. Crossover moments are not just big moments either, not just big decisions. Quite often it's small decisions that lead us into the will of God. There's a song that Sue and I like. It's just on one of the CDs we have. I can't even give you the title or who sings it, but it says this. The person is saying, why don't you do something about it, God? About the things going on in the world. And God replies, I did. I made you. God made you to do something about the situation that lays on your heart. We have a choice. Do we sit back and hope someone else will do it? Or do we become crossover people? People who step up. The thing is, God will raise up someone else in your place if you don't. It makes me wonder how many Christians have missed out on blessings and stayed where they are when they're comfortable, or too afraid to move forward because of various circumstances. When we look at other people and see what they have achieved in God's will and think, why them and not me? It could be that God has opened that door before you, but you didn't cross over. But you need to make sure, though, that it is God's will. Because doing it in your own will not be fruitful. So verse 7 to 10. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. What a statement to hear from God. This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This is what happens when you're a crossover person. God will exalt you, and people will see that God is with you. So Joshua goes on. God says to him, you shall command the priests. This is the Lord exalting Joshua and showing the people that he is firmly in charge and listening to God. The priests had to walk into the river when it was in full flood and trust God would act. Okay, they had the ark on their shoulders, And I'm sure God wouldn't let any harm happen to it. But it is still took a lot of faith. When we know we are in God's will, sometimes we have to step out into the running waters in faith. And God will meet us there. When we moved to Lincolnshire, it was in faith that God wanted us there. And exciting things are happening. Doors are opening. It's quite often how you know you are on the path, the right path. But you have to step out in faith. Then things start to really move. Just like the priests, they stepped out in faith. And then God worked. God was going before them. He would make the impossible possible. He was showing them that he was there before them. And they need not fear. Because he was giving them the land. All they had to do was move forward and trust him. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one man for every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Verse 11, I find it interesting, the words used there. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. It's just reminding them who's in control. It can do anything. And that same Lord is going before them into the Jordan. If there's one thing that I've learnt over this move to Lincolnshire, is to wait on the Lord, let him move before you. You have to be prepared to move when he does. When you do this, you find those big obstacles just melt away. And you can move forward. Now, as for the 12 men that they picked, if we only read chapter 3, it would seem a bit odd because they're not mentioned again. But they are in the next chapter. So you'll have to wait for that one. Now they find out what God is going to do. They can get across the Jordan. In some ways, it must have been a relief to them to find out what was about to happen. I imagine that some might have guessed how it was going to happen. After all, it had taken them through the waters before. But it's nice to get confirmation on how God is going to bring about this miracle. Now, the scoffers will always try to find a natural event or try to explain it away some other way. But here God explains exactly how it is going to happen in verse 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. And the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap. I don't know any natural thing that can stop the flow of water and stand it up in a heap. You might get it on science fiction movies or some fantasy movies, but in reality, it doesn't happen. There is only one possible way this can happen, and that is the Lord of all the earth had to bring it about. Now, when you think about it, when crossing the Red Sea, he parted the waves, and the people walked in between the two walls of water on dry land. In the next verses, we see God does it differently. The waters stood still upstream, so the waters dried up. If I had a choice of doing the two, I think I'd choose this one. You can imagine walking between two walls of water. It would be daunting, wouldn't it? But here, he's dried it up. There's no... Well, in fact, it goes on to say that it was further upstream where the heap was, not where they were. So, I think I'd choose this one. Verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, rose in a heap very far away at Adam, and the city that is beside Zeretan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. God had told them what was about to happen, but now it was happening. Just like he told them. The detail is all there. You cannot mistake what is happening or make up some story that you might think happened. It's there for all to read. The land was dry to walk on, and the priests stood there on dry ground in the middle of the river. And they didn't get wet. The people walked across and didn't get wet, not even their feet. Now you think if some people might suggest that they'd built a dam further up, or there'd been a landslide and dammed it up. But if that were the case, there would have been water still hanging around. But no, it says they'd crossed on dry land. It was safe for them to cross. Going pretty quick tonight. Well, in conclusion, the challenge tonight is, are you going to be a crossover people? Are you settled just coming to church and studying the Word of God? Or are you prepared to step into the water in faith and let God take you to the promised land? Age is not a barrier. There is no theology in the Bible about retirement. I don't know if you've noticed that. Physically, we slow down and we might be a bit restricted, but there are many ways to serve God. Find yours. It just reminds me of one story when they were smuggling Bibles into China. And they'd got the Bibles in, and they went to this one of the underground churches. And there was an old lady leading the church. She was about 80. And the guy who was telling the story was at the church, and this is a story he told us. He says to this old lady, "Ain't it time you retired?" She picked up the Bible, put it in his hand, and said, "Show me where it says retiring there." So, the Bible does not teach us to retire. If we're still willing to be a servant of the Lord, we can still be active. I mean, in some senses, what me and Sue are doing, we've retired. Okay, I'm a bit early, but that's to my benefit. But, you know, you get to retirement age, and then suddenly we're off on a new venture. It's good for your soul. It's good. Because you've got something to aim for. You've got something to work for. And if you're willing to be used, God will use you. So just remember, are you a crossover person? Amen.